Welcome to Backstage at the Roundhouse. I'm Emma Gold, the Volunteer and Staff Coordinator here. This week is a super special week. It's National Volunteer Week in the UK. Marcus Davey is joined by three of our long-standing Roundhouse volunteers, Christina Mazzo, Sammy McNeil, and Simon Gladwin, for a conversation about memories, milestones, and what it means to be part of the Roundhouse community over the last 20 or more years. Sit back, relax, and travel back in time with us. You're listening to Backstage at the Roundhouse.
Hey, it's really great to be with you today. I'm Marcus Davey. I'm the Chief Executive and Artistic Director of the Roundhouse. And I first started working here on the 3rd of August, 1999. So, Sammy, I think you, why don't you tell us your name and your relationship when you first started?
Hi, Marcus. So my name's Sammy, and I started at the Roundhouse slightly earlier before the renovation of the new building. I volunteered for the Young People's Education Programme back then as an administrator volunteer. But officially, I became a front-of-house volunteer on the 3rd of June 2006.
Wow. We'll come back to that, I suspect. Christina, what about you?
Oh, hi, Marcus. I did my induction day. It was morning, I remember, September 2007.
Yeah,
and then my first shift was 1 week later. We didn't have many shadowing then at that time. I think they show us where the doors were, the evacuation doors and everything. And then we just were there, left it to do the job on the spot. Oh, and I got my uniform and everything. And I said, oh, this place, I loved it right at the first time, actually. But I knew how it was before because I used to live very locally then.
Can you remember the first show that you volunteered for?
Oh, I cannot remember, actually.
I can tell you what it was.
Was it? Oh, please tell me.
It was Huerta Bruta.
I remember it very, very well. Very well that
and we
day,
have
yeah.
Simon's in here too. So, Simon, you have been coming to the Roundhouse a long time, but you started volunteering a little bit later.
I started in 2012, yeah. My induction was in September, I believe, but we had mass inductions. There was like 50 people all in the main space. Yeah, it was pretty good. And I think my first shift was about a week later as well. And I think, if I've got this wrong, but I was for Brutus as well, 2012. That was my first shift. I'm pretty sure they were.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah. And it was when that incident happened.
Oh, yeah, well, let's not talk about that. You can't mention that already.
Well, we can cut that out.
You were there as well.
I was there as well.
My first show was the kind of parent company of Huerta Bruta, De La Guarda, back in 1999. And so we've all got this kind of Argentine relationship with the building. But I just wonder about your first memory of what it was like. Why did you get involved? And you know, who else was around at the time?
It all started basically because of the Apple Festival. And I won about 18 tickets because no one was applying. It was the first year, 2009, I believe it was 2009. And I won about 18 tickets. And I tried to blag my way into the VIP bar. And I finally got myself into the members bar. They gave me a members wristband. So I liked the members bar so much that I actually joined. And I was going for about 18 months to a year. And they said to me, Simon, why don't you become a volunteer? I wasn't interested. So they signed me up with my ex, because they had my email address. So they signed me up. And then I got an email saying induction, September, whatever date. So I thought, you know what? I'll give it a go. So I went to the induction, quite enjoyed it. It was very good. And then next week I thought, you know what? I'll give it one shift and see what it's like. That was 14 years ago. So I've been here ever since.
It's a blink of an eye. Yeah. I mean, it does go very quickly. What about you, Christina?
I started because there was already this program for the youth. So my daughter started to come here. I used to bring my daughter. I was a single parent then. So Saturday, normally when she would come and stay the whole day, it gives me a bit of a respite as well. But she was learning so much. She did the poetry, photography. She did a lot of things. So when she was old enough to stay at home by herself in the evening, I said, oh, I'm going to become a volunteer. And that was the following year, actually, 2007. And that also to keep up with the young, because I had my daughter was quite old one, yeah, was very mature lady. And I said, oh, to keep up what is the new music, to keep in tune with my young child, yeah. And I really like it. I really loved it. As a matter of fact, the following year, I won a trophy of the best usher. And me and Richard, the best usher female, and Richard won the trophy for the best usher male. So,
oh, that's a lovely story. Who yeah. else was around at that time?
Was Lizzie. I think her name was Lizzie. Jean. It was Jean. And then who was... was it Tim? I haven't known Tim for a long, long time. I'm not sure he was there already, but I remember them too. And then there was another coordinator lady. I can't remember her name.
There was Jackie, Lindsay.
Lindsay.
There was Jill.
Mark, yes.
There was Paul as well. Oh, started as a volunteer and then became a duty manager.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you remember. Oh, such
I want some of your memory.
Yeah.
Cool. What about you, Sammy? So you were involved before, but when you first started, who else were around? What motivated you to get involved?
Yes, so I worked for Clean Break, a women's theatre company, and the Roundhouse happened to come to our studio to have their AGM meeting there. And on our reception desk, I came across leaflets about recruiting front of house volunteers for the Roundhouse, which is something I've always wanted to do, but never found the courage to do it. So I've always stayed in my comfort zone, but it's always been at the back of my mind that I've said, I really want to do front of house. You know, I really want to learn about how to usher people to their seats and welcome them and check their tickets and so forth. So I signed up. And I got a reply back saying that we'd love to interview you, which was at the Haverstock School, which is just across the road there. So then that day, which was a Saturday, there was just tons and tons of people expressing an interest, wanted to come on board. There was a video of the history of the Roundhouse as well, and a talk wheel and so on, just full of information. It was still enthusiastic and, you know, still want to learn more about the role. So I remember filling out the application form at Haverstock School. I remember being interviewed by two lovely volunteer coordinators and I've forgotten their names. Was it Jackie?
Jackie is one of them,
Was it Jackie and Linda?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because Lindsay and Jill were the permanent staff members.
That's right. Yes. So I remember being interviewed by both of them and just feeling really positive about myself, but still nervous, saying to myself, I don't think I'm going to get this role because I have no experience in front of house. I think there was about a 2 week period I waited, and then I received an email. I said, oh, congratulations, you've been successful. Yeah. We asked you to come back to do some more training. I thought, great. I'm in. You know, I'm going to finally do some volunteering around the Roundhouse as well. And then, yes, my first shift was on the 3rd of June 2006, which was Fritz Sabuta. So where the merchandise area is, that was a seating area. So I remember we were all gathered around there to have a briefing with Lindsay and Jill. We were all nervous. Our first day, we were all nervous. None of us knew each other, but somehow we just started to connect and talk and sort of support one another as well. But I remember just sitting there thinking, oh, my days, what am I doing here? You know, I didn't know who this organisation was. I knew nothing about what they were doing, but I'm telling you, my first shift was amazing. I was blown away by their performance as well. And I remember just instantly after my shift, just signing up for more and more shifts, basically. Yeah. So I remember
you from those days because it was the very earliest because we knew everybody because we opened on the 1st of June 2006. You started on the 3rd of June 2006. Do you know why we've got volunteer ushers at the Roundhouse? So shall I tell you the story?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, please do.
So before we reopened, we'd been closed for 2 years doing the building work. Then we had an ad hoc program before then. It was very touch and go, I've got to say. And we paid volunteers, not paid, we had paid staff doing it, which were mainly drama students. And, you know, that was really great. And we loved that. But they were quite often at the last minute being called up to do a show. And, you know, and sometimes we didn't have enough staff. And I just went, they are just students. And I'd love the representation of London to be represented amongst the people who welcome you when you come to the Roundhouse. And so I went, I wonder if the best way to do that is volunteers. And somebody was doing some work with us at the time. I said, go and look at a number of different models. And they looked at different models. And then we started advertising in the Ham and High and the Camden New Journal. And that was the way to get mass communication in those days. Yeah. And then we started advertising, people looking at it saying, oh, what's that going on? It's reopening. It's under scaffolding a lot. And I've got to say, it was the actually, apart from the rebuild of the Roundhouse, I think it's one of the best decisions we ever made, because when you come up the stairs at the Roundhouse, you see yourself. You see yourself. Whoever you are, you'll see something about yourself. Now, there are younger people, there's older people, there's people in middle age, there are people who are working, there are people who are not working. Mm. It's just people from different backgrounds, and that is what the Roundhouse should be. So when you've all been volunteering for all these years, I know you all, it means something. Mm. It means something not only to the people coming up the stairs, who may be coming for the first time, nervous like you were the first time you were there, but you're also our best ambassadors in the community. But I want to know what it means to you, because sometimes people said, well, actually, I've been to so-and-so's wedding and I met them and I'm the godfather or mother of this child over here, and we went round to a barbecue here. But what does it actually mean, apart from being at the Roundhouse? You build a kind of community of people around you as well, don't you?
Well, it's like going to a concert or a gig with your friends, because everybody you know, you can go by yourself, and everybody you know or everybody working the door are people you know. So you can go and have a chat, you can go upstairs, have a chat, and sometimes there's people there that have got tickets as well. So you know everybody that's in the Roundhouse, you know the bar staff. It's a good community. I love the community there.
And what about you, Christina?
Yeah, it's like a big family to me, you know, because, well, I've been here for such a long time, so I got to know so many volunteers, and I like the idea they're all coming from different walks of life, where we had judges, we had lawyers, solicitors, doctors, we had the whole, and it was such an interesting conversation, even to be outside of the door, something like this, and to talk, oh, what have you been up to? Then I was looking forward, I said, oh, I hope I'm going to walk with a volunteer, and so she can tell me more about it, you know, about a case or something. And I felt always so elated every time when I was able to come, actually. So that means, but also for me means like to give something back to the community, because the community helped me a lot. Also because my daughter always loved to attend all the programs you had for youth here. And then I felt good to give my time to the Roundhouse for that. And also because I know they would invest directly to the youth program. So I know exactly where the money they saved on me would go to.
Well, that's true, because, you know, you are volunteering, but every penny the Roundhouse makes goes back to supporting our program with young people. We are, you know, the largest creative youth charity for young people in Europe. And every penny we make goes straight back into doing those programs, which, again, we know, just in the last few days, we've seen this big Anna Milburn report in the news. And it's saying 1 million young people are unemployed. Yeah. And that just shouldn't be allowed. You know, my manifesto, if I was PM for a day, would be double the pay of teachers, double the pay of everyone who works at school, make it the place that everybody wants to be, really good education, and then do everything you can to find work for young people. If we invest in young people, any party that invests in young people will win the next election, is what I kind of feel. And if they don't, it's going to be chaos. Sammy, what about you?
I totally agree with you, Marcus. I think in the early years when we used to sit, when we saw sharings from the young companies downstairs. Well, I was just blown away by what they would deliver, their performance, their energy, but also their confidence as well. And it comes back to saying, you know, the Roundhouse has given me that opportunity, that open door, that steadiness, but also finding myself as well. Those are kind of the experiences I'd hear from the young people, their reasons why they come here as well, but also supporting their stability, staying out of trouble as well, but doing something that they care about, that they're passionate about as well. And I remember there was one young person who, I've forgotten her name, but she always says that, you know, I would like to stay on and work here, maybe in an interim position. But, you know, she still wanted to keep that connection going and support the Roundhouse in the way. But yes, she inspired me. She did. But I haven't seen her, you know, that's a long time ago.
So many of those young people have gone on to do incredible things, whether that's just go back into education or find a different path in their life, or are massive names like Little Sims or Daniel Kaluuya or Jack Rook or, you know, Radio 4 journalists. So I've been really fortunate. I've not only had the privilege of working with you, and I always feel really safe when I see the people that I know, especially you three and, you know, a number of others, when I get around. And there's a nice little conversation. We have a chat. You tell me what's going on. But I've seen some extraordinary artists in the main space, and I've witnessed the programmes with young people. And I was just remembering, as you're talking then, we talked about Fuerte Bruta and Della Guarda, but I remember Paul McCartney performing in the main space.
Oh, yeah.
And I gave my ticket to somebody who really desperately wanted, but I could stand up on the balcony. It was fine. And I noticed that there are these two women and a little girl, and they were dancing away, and they didn't seem to have seats either. And I thought, well, and one of them grabbed me and started dancing as well. And I was dancing away to Paul McCartney. I was like, I'm dancing to Paul McCartney. And then I realized it was Mary and Stella McCartney.
Oh, no.
And little Beatrice McCartney. And I sort of go, I'm dancing with his daughters. And that just blew my mind. And were you both there?
Yeah. I mean, I was somewhere near the door, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What have been the highlight? Talk about the highlights, you know, the kind of things that will, when we're all taking the last breath and we sort of go, but I remember this.
Most people would say Prince, Elton John or Radiohead, but I've got an experience that happened. I was on the door one day and I looked through, it was a support band, and there was about 20 people inside. So I went back out to check who was coming in with the tickets. All of a sudden I heard this sound, and I thought, this is amazing. So I went in, and there was a man standing there drinking a can of beer with a little amplifier. Then there was another man on, so there was only two people on the stage, another man on a mic. And the following year, they come back, and it was a sellout, and it was a band called Sleaford Mods.
Yeah, Sleaford. I knew it was going to say Sleaford Mods, yeah.
And they have stuck in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was 20 people for the first gig just watching that band.
Amazing. I didn't know that.
And there was another band. We got a Facebook page for the volunteers. And someone put up, this band looks worth a watch. And it was a band called The Hu, H-U, Mongolian rock band.
Yeah, yeah. Massive now.
Oh, unbelievable.
Absolutely massive.
They was all dressed in leather, long hair, playing Mongolian instruments. But the sound that come out of it was like, yes, they're my two that stick in my head.
Beautiful, beautiful stories. What about, just before we share that out, what about not a music show, but one of the, like, you know, we've done lots of installations and circuses and so on.
We've had some, was it the Russian, when they had the Russian swing? Do you remember that?
Oh, was that Swedish company called Racehorse Company.
Yes, but, that was it. Yeah.
The Wheel of Death.
Yes.
And that was crazy. Yeah.
Oh, I remember the one I remember in musical times was Ed Sheeran.
Oh, yeah.
When he came as a support, I don't know whether you were there.
I was there.
Yeah. There probably were about 100 people in front. And he was there sitting down with his checked shirt and playing the guitar. Nobody taking much notice of it. But I like him because he said, he's no swearing. And I like him very much. And then the following year, he was so famous, isn't he? Didn't come as a support group, a support singer, but as someone else, very popular. But what I like was the Shakespeare. the Shakespeare comedy that we run throughout the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe you don't remember, but I remember one evening I was up on the sitting place where there was all sittings actually, but there was Judi Dench, and you spotted that and you came to me and you say, oh, I think there is Judi Dench somewhere. I said, maybe you would like to go there and ask if she needs anything. So, and she wanted a program. So I got the program for her, and you spotted it before me actually.
I so, love Judi Dench.
I know, me too. And she was there with her grand, I think it was a granduta, and she was very polite, very unassuming.
No swearing.
She was wearing just normal clothes. I think if you don't know her, very, she had no makeup, nothing. Yeah. If she would pass by without being recognized.
She's extraordinary.
Oh, she was very
Was that
nice.
For the Shakespeare History play?
Yeah, that's right.
2009 or something.
Nice, something like this. Yeah. Oh, I was here every evening. I loved it. Yeah,
what are your highlights, Sammy?
Oh, gosh. I think my first electric prom when we had James Brown.
James Brown.
The highlight of that night. That was in October 2006.
You know what's special about that night?
Mm.
It was his last ever film.
That's right,
concert.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to be one of two people to watch him rehearse for 3 hours that day. And I went in just for 5 minutes, check everything was all right. And I was allowed to stay. And I've got to say that is one of my top five shows I've ever been to.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That was amazing, that night was. I think my other highlights would have been Prince as well. When he came, he did two performances in June 2014, I think it was. Yeah, around about that time. And I think also Dame Shirley Bassey was amazing. Elton John. Who else did we have? Oh, George Michael. Do you remember he did the free concert for the NHS?
NHS star.
That was amazing, that was.
And take that.
That was a festival. That was the iTunes festival.
And can you remember, I remember you at some of the circuses and things.
Yes.
You've been to lots, haven't you?
Yes.
Do you like Cirque Columbia?
Amazing. They were. I just remember, my anxiety would just go into triple just in terms of the acrobats that they do. I felt, oh my God, that's so dangerous. Because they would work with no safety nets or harnesses.
They were well trained.
Yeah, they were. Please be careful. But
okay, what about a fantasy football league kind of thing? What about an artist you would like to have seen here, or a theatre company or whatever it is? Somebody you'd like to have seen here who has never played here? Who would you have liked? Who's the missing person?
Oh my
for you?
Gosh! Before Shish Wolves used to say that, who'd be your idol fantasy? And I had a long list, and now it's just gone completely.
But you've named some of the biggest names in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
What about you, Christine?
I would have actually liked for Andrea Bocelli to become here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Andrea Bocelli did perform here in one of the iTunes festivals.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, maybe he was in Italy then, because definitely they would have come. Because in the summer, because summer holidays, I would go to Italy
and
with
plus,
my
Placido
daughter.
Placido Domingo performed here as well.
Oh, Placido Domingo, I remember. Yeah. He was there here. But no, I missed out on Andrea Bocelli then. Sorry. Yeah.
I can't think of anyone because most of the stars have played here.
So what about from history? So there is somebody I'd love to have been, just her and her piano, sitting in the middle with us just seated around, my favourite artist, Nina Simone.
Oh.
Can you imagine just being in the roundhouse, one light coming down?
Yeah.
And I just think of that sound. And sometimes I believe that I've seen her here because I just wanted to see her here. You know, some of those great songs which are against struggling against adversity, but I've got life.
Yes.
And they are just so moving. I just think that actually she did play here, but she didn't. But of course, in time, over the time, the Doors giving their first and only
David Bowie.
David Bowie. Yeah. The Ramones giving their only, their first ever British performance on the 4th of July, 1976. So the birth of the kind of punk movement exploded around that time. Pink Floyd gave the first ever show at the Roundhouse and their first ever show. But, you know, and nowadays we get spoken word poetry and all the other artists.
Which, it's got bigger and bigger over the years, hasn't it?
Let's talk about spoken word poetry for a second, just as you mention it, because it's the thing I love. You probably all done the Poetry Slam. Can you remember a poet that you kind of go, oh my goodness, that person actually changed my life? Or can you remember Sir Haima Mansur Khan a couple of years ago, who talked about when a terrorist bomb goes off in London. And of course, she's being a Muslim woman, you know, her parents phone her up and see if she's okay because of the backlash that comes out. And that was absolutely extraordinary. It took my breath away. But there are so many of those amazing poets who come up through the roundhouse and then go on to other things.
Yeah. The one where he does the train stations.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Harry, he remembered them in his head. And John Cooper Clarke turning up.
Oh, yeah, I love John Cooper Clarke. Yeah, the punk poet.
Yes, being a judge as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me more about when you form this kind of community, a family, as you say, do you go to other people's houses and parties? And what's that what's that like? And do you, you know, somebody once told me they've become a godparent, and somebody told me that they had decided to volunteer here because they worked as a head teacher in a primary school in East London. I don't know if you remember her name.
I think that was Susie. Susie. I could be wrong.
I think that's her name. Mm. And I said, why would you do that? You work with children all day. She said, well, I don't want a family myself, but I want to be around a group of adults in the evening with something I absolutely love. So I moved near to the roundhouse, and that's why I do it. And I just thought, wow, to think that progressively about your own life is amazing. But tell me about some of the interactions.
We have a birthday annual party.
Oh, do you?
In April for all the people that have, there's quite a few people that have birthdays in April.
Yeah.
So this year's April, we went to the Steels. Normally go around the Pembroke or around them areas. And normally, but not just people whose birthdays are in April.
Right.
Everybody turns up.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, we have one. There was only about 10 of us this year. But yeah, we had one in the Steels a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
And then we'll meet up and probably go down the Big Red, have a couple of beers and something to eat down there. Yeah. Oh. So yeah, we go out and have drinks. And
there was picnics as well. Yes. We sort of coordinate picnics on Primrose Hill back in the days. I mean, obviously I couldn't attend because of my hay fever, but that was an annual event for volunteers as well. So there's all different types of celebrations that we would have. We'd have like bingo session.
Oh,
we'd
really?
Have like a dance session in the studio space back in the days as well. But yeah, I still keep in touch with lots of volunteers here. I do go to their homes. They come to my homes as well. We all talk about our time, you know, our volunteering experiences at the roundhouse. But we talk about other things like tennis and football and families and so forth. But I love that connection of what the roundhouse does, you know, in terms of friendship, when you have something in common with someone else and you just keep that friend, and you want to do the shifts with that same person as well. You kind of build up that friendship and that connection.
So you can choose which shifts you do to be with your friends.
Well, that's how it used to be back then. Yeah. I think, you can still do that now.
You see the list of who is in the shift.
We've got Emma, who is sitting in the corner of our room at the moment, who manages all the volunteers, and she's nodding away at different things. And
well, she's doing a great job. Yeah.
Great job. Do you hear that, Emma? Great job.
Actually, I used to do a lot because before I just used to live about 10 minutes away from the roundhouse. Now I moved very far, so I lost a bit of this friendliness with the other people living locally. But we used to make like a dinner party between the volunteers. So one day they come to my place, and maybe a month later I went to their place. That was great, actually. But most of the volunteers that started to work in the same time as mine, I think they've left for someone. These are only very few.
You get the long service award.
Yeah.
You know, not only are you volunteering and supporting the roundhouse by us, you know, you're representing London to people so they feel at home. You're ambassadors in the community. You're forming relationships and partnerships. So you're building community. And building community is something that I think we've lost a lot of in our society. So it's interesting that you're talking about building a community, going around to each other's houses, having the birthday party. That sounds great. I'm actually feeling a little bit left out, by the way. I mean, I don't really get FOMO, but now I am. Okay. So maybe as I'm leaving the roundhouse today, that feels really strange. I'm saying that this is one of the last things I'm doing. I mean, I'm coming back on Monday. Can I be invited to something? Emma's nodding. Can you get that down on record? Yeah, that would be really good. If you were standing on Primrose Hill, say, because that's quite close, and an alien came down from space and they had managed to learn English. And they and you said what you and they said, what do you do? And you say what you do, and then you said, oh, but I also volunteer at the Roundhouse. How would you describe what the Roundhouse is to an alien community?
God,
and what the Roundhouse is?
I'd say if you're a lover of theatre and music and the arts as well, and obviously the Roundhouse offers that for young people. And as a young person that wants to establish in those kind of remits, then definitely check out the Roundhouse, you know, yeah. Speak to other people, read about the Roundhouse, go on the website, check out on their social media, so forth. Even come for a taster session as well, just to see if this is the right environment for you as a young person and how you can develop your skills as well.
That's a beautiful advert. Thank you.
Mine's not going to be as good.
Oh, really? Oh, no. Oh, dear, we failed.
Whatever the question is going to be.
No, it was about describing what the Roundhouse was. And it's maybe it's philosophy. What do you think the Roundhouse means philosophically?
Well, I think the Roundhouse is for the local people, and it has amazing gigs. It has a good community spirit inside and outside. It's just a lovely building, and I love working here. Well, volunteering here.
Yeah. And I suppose for me, I feel at home here.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's not every person in a job or volunteering or whichever position feels at home in the place that they're in. And I love the fact that all people that I see in London are represented in London, in the Roundhouse. And I love that fact that we're doing shows that if you saw them at the Carnegie Hall or the Sydney Opera House, you'd think that is the best in the world. We are seeing the best in the world at the shows that we
and
see.
And by volunteering, you see things you wouldn't pay or you wouldn't go to see. And it might be on the spur of the moment you think, I'm doing nothing today. Yeah. I think I'll go and volunteer, or I'm doing nothing on Thursday. And you get there and it's something you never expected and you enjoyed every minute of it. And you think, this is why I volunteer.
Yeah.
It's for these experiences that you never know what's going to happen. You never know half of these bands now. Because most of the bands now I've seen music changing over the last 4 years. Mm. It's going basically onto TikTok, seems to be taking over the music. Boom, music's got to change. You know, you had the punk, you had Elvis, rock and roll, and now I can see this TikTok sort of music taking over now. But some of it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
When there's storytelling in the heart of it, then it's going to be fine.
And can I also add that on a couple of experiences, I've volunteered up until 3 o'clock in the morning. One stood out for me was Justin Timberlake when he was showcasing his album, Man in the Woods. So that was a real, that was a great experience, but tired, but great for Roundhouse to help us get home, just booking taxis for us. Yeah. But that was one of my experiences, being in the building till 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
And he was really ill.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was so ill, but such a professional,
wasn't
it? Yeah. He was so professional, he just went on. You know, during COVID, I'm going to come back to you in a second, Christina, on this, but during COVID, we had no idea what was going to happen to the world. And, you know, it was very, very complicated and difficult. We were desperate to get any money in what we could. We had to make a lot of redundancies. It was very difficult. All the directors took salary cuts and everything else. You know, the world was in chaos. And then we had a booking that really kept us going for a bit, because the band Coldplay booked the main space to do America's Got Talent at a live stream. And they recorded a Higher Power single next to the containers in the yard. And that was them dancing in the rain outside. Dustin was kind of like, we can't do anything more than this. And it millions within seconds watching it. But what most people don't know is, and I'm probably... there's probably an NDA to say I can't say this, but what the hell? I'm leaving. Up in our meeting room, the Western production room, upstairs in our metal container building, they went in there and they were linked to the space station. And they were the first band to have that relationship with the space station. Wow. And it was from our meeting room. So it was funny. Wow. Sorry, I felt I was interrupting.
No, it's all right. Oh, it just went out of my mind. So, it's all right, and that's fine.
Another memory that sticks to mind, you mentioned earlier on about the Doors originally played down. Do you remember when New Year's Eve, when the Doors played here?
I've got a whole story on that.
So I remember that was my first New Year's Eve here volunteering at the Roundhouse. It was quite electrifying because obviously as a black brown woman, I do know some of their music.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact is that I just wanted to see in the new year at the Roundhouse as well. So that was my reason why I came to do volunteering that evening as well. But it was a great evening, so, with the indoor fireworks and
everything. It was the craziest night, and it would have been the craziest couple of months because it's our first New Year's Eve.
Yes.
And we booked the surviving members of The Doors with the lead singer from The Cult.
Yes.
And it's called Rises on the Storm, of course. And the manager arrived on the... I've never told this story before, so I'm going to tell it to you. The manager arrived, but it was a different manager. They'd sacked their previous manager, got this new manager, and he was a New York guy with a pinstripe suit, and he looked like he really wanted to beat me up. And I was called in. I wasn't supposed to be in. Was called in. It was a weekend, and I came in, and he just went, "This isn't right, is it?" And I went, "What's not right?" He said, "It's disgusting. It's all disgusting. It's dirty." And I went, "It's brand new. What are you talking about? It's brand new. Everything's brand new. The cleaners have been in. The housekeeping staff have scrubbed everything. The ride has not been completely ignored." And I was sort of going, "What's he on about?" And he kept basically shouting at me. And I was sort of going, "He wants to prove a point. So let him prove a point. It's fine. I'll just let that wash off me. It's fine." And you could see the tour manager was looking really jittery because, you know, he was... Anyway, they started saying some things. And they said, "And that's not in the contract." And I went, "Actually, that is in the contract, and that is in the contract, that's in the contract." And they said, "I don't know if you realise it." It's been really patronising to me. He said, "I don't know if you realise it, but last time the Doors played here, back in 1966, this was a round venue." And I went, "It's still round?" And they said, "Well, it's not exactly round." And I stupidly said, "Well, they're not exactly the Doors." And do you know what he did? He turned his back on me and said to the tour manager, "Get it out of here." I took him at me. And I just thought, oh, my God. So I said, "Oh, look, let's go to the dressing room just to check that they're all fine." And he looked at them and he said, "I would eat the food off the floor. It's so clean." And in the fridges was full of all the stuff they wanted. Anyway, the band arrived late. And they went straight on stage, didn't have any of the rider whatsoever, and said, "This is the best night of our life," coming back to the Roundhouse. And it was amazing, wasn't it? They played all the famous songs.
Yeah.
And Riders on the Storm was etched indelibly into my heart. But do you know some of the backstage stories? Okay, so... which one? Okay, so there was a band, a very, very famous band, and the lead singer... it happened to be his birthday, but that's irrelevant to the thing. It was sold out, massive queues out the door. And he had had a shower, getting himself ready, and he was boiling hot day. So he was sitting there, probably naked in his shower, sitting there, cooling off. And he noticed his shoe was broken. So he got out his little toolkit of stuff and found some super glue. And he was super gluing it, kind of looking at it, super gluing it. And when he got up, he didn't realise that the super glue had dripped off onto his testicles and stuck him to the chair. and so one of the colleagues that we mentioned earlier was walking past, and all they could hear was this screaming. And like, "Help! Help!" It was actually an American accent. "Help! Help!" And they said, and he told the story, and she said, "I don't think I should come in there and rub that, do you?" Anyway, they've managed to find some solvent, and it was all okay for the night. But I don't know why I suddenly remember that story, but maybe I'm feeling a little bit kind of like I've got to tell some of these stories to somebody sometime. I've said this on a couple of these podcasts I've recorded recently, which is, in life, we don't measure our life by the number of breaths we take, but by the number of times our breath is taken away. If there's one moment where your breath was taken away, at the Roundhouse, like you talked about James Brown, maybe it was James Brown, or maybe it's a particular song of James Brown. Is there one moment, or maybe it's the community and the relationships you built with others, or is it just standing there and feeling that they're part of something that you think is special?
I think for me, it's definitely the audience that really lights up the main space and the studio space downstairs as well. I love the meet and greet and just having those interaction with people I've never met before. And some of them do come up and say to me, oh, why are you volunteering here? Where can I get your Roundhouse t-shirt from? Can I buy it? Oh, yeah, I used to get answer those questions quite a lot. Can I buy a Roundhouse t-shirt? I think he was with me one time, Simon, when a guy came up and said, oh, I love your t-shirt. Where can I buy one from? But I think for me, it's the people that come through. The doors, they come to see a performance. The space is great. We're always hearing how the space is just wonderful
red
to
light,
be in.
People that have never been to the Roundhouse before and they walk through the doors for the first time and they see them.
Yeah. That's my magic.
And they kind of gasp. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Is that yours too, Christina?
Yeah. And now I recall what I was supposed to say before. Yeah, actually, it's the interaction with the public when they, this place is beautiful. Can you take a photograph of me? I think like this, you know? Yeah. And then some of them, they are so big. Oh, thank you very much for helping me when they show the seats. Maybe the first time they've been a theater or a place or a gig, you know? And then you help them out. Oh, thank you. They are so full of gratitude. And that, I said, oh, I do a good service then, you know? But also what I like is when the actual stage building up slowly, and then you see all the people coming and be so full of heads and with the lights and beautiful backgrounds. That is something I will never forget.
It's when they ask you about the building and you start giving them a bit of history and then they kind of gasp, like, oh my God, I didn't know it was a railway station. And you start telling them this, that, and the other. And they are.
For me, it's the Americans. The Americans are so into the round, they just love it, because from the outside they say it looks so tiny, so small, but as soon as they step in, it's just huge
it is
space.
A TARDIS, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But I just think it's just a magical place to be.
That's the magic moment for me. It's when people walk in and you're standing there and they go, their eyes look up to the roof. Oh my God. And then there's the thought that when I see people carrying 2 pints, and I think the profit from that is supporting a young person doing a project downstairs. And that whole circle, the other circle, which is from the downstairs to the upstairs, the downstairs to the upstairs, that combination of things, that we have a real social purpose. Isn't it amazing to be able to do something for that? Yeah. That actually we're doing something for young people day in, day out. So I think we're running out of time, and I'm going to ask one more question. And we'll go round, because we talked about really important stories and your memories and what it's like to be backstage at the Roundhouse and how you get induction, the 20 years of involvement, the 14 years involvement, Simon, the 19 years, Christina, the 27 years for me. What does the Roundhouse mean to you, Sammy?
Oh, gosh. I think the Roundhouse holds a very special place in my heart, and it always will. And it's a home for home for me as well. I just love the energy, the atmosphere, meeting different people, learning about different people as well, audience members, the artists as well. You know, there's shifts that I've been on that I've never heard of these artists, but by God, their music is great. And there are times I have gone on to buy their CDs and so forth. But for me, volunteering is, as Christina was saying, is giving back, and that's powerful. That is to give back to your local community, but also something that you love, theatre and music as well. It's a perfect match. It's a marriage made in heaven. The theatre, the arts, the music, the people, the volunteering, it all ties in beautifully, but also an amazing building as well that really stands out in Camden, which is very diverse for everybody to enjoy. There's always a little bit of elements for someone to come here, like pantomime, music, theatre, ballet, circus. The list goes on what Roundhouse produces. It's not just a music theatre. It's for everybody's taste and liking. And I think it'll just get bigger and better. But, you know, filming will be next. Filming will be good for young people.
We do film.
Yeah.
We do a lot of film.
Yes, you do. Yeah,
great. Christina, what does it mean to you?
For me, well, I know in the last 3 years I moved out of London. It would take me 2 hours to go home.
Oh, yeah.
But I still can't detach from the Roundhouse. Because every time when I still volunteer, maybe a bit less than what I used to do before, but the welcoming I always have from the coordinators, from you. You always come and say, how are you? How yes. things are going? And all the new coordinators and the old one, they make me feel important. I'm doing this job. Mm. And that to be appreciated as well, beside what you said, that it was great. But that is what keeps me coming, because I can see that it helps the roundhouse itself, but it helps all the big circles around.
Mm. Yeah.
And I love that. Wonderful.
To me, it's like a club. You got a bowling club, you got snooker halls. To me, this is where I come. I can listen to music. I can meet loads of nice people, nice friends that I've made over the years by volunteering here. So to me, it's somewhere I can go. And to me, it's like a club. It's
so somewhere you feel connected.
Somewhere
to,
I feel belong, connected, yes. And I can come and I can speak to people and I can have a good time, as well as volunteer at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I think you summed it up for me. I feel like it's a place where we can all be at home. We all feel connected. We all feel it has purpose and meaning. Mm-hmm. And I can't thank you enough for inviting me to come and talk with you and about what it means to be a volunteer at the Roundhouse and to be backstage at the Roundhouse. Mm-hmm. And here I am signing off.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Marcus.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you.
You've been listening to Backstage at the Roundhouse. Huge thanks to Marcus, Christina, Sammy and Simon for sharing their stories and memories with us. On your next visit, please go and say hi and chat to our amazing volunteers in red. This podcast is powered by Transmission Roundhouse,